Well, David Hellman covers the Cowboys, but we have to start with this. Alabama and LSU. You puckered up yet, buddy?
I've been puckered up for a week. I keep it's college football. It's one versus number two. It's very exciting and fun for everybody else. Not so much for yours truly. I don't know if you're aware of this, but LSU hasn't beaten Alabama in a decade. So just a whole lot of stress, and I imagine it's only going to get worse as the week goes along.
Yeah, we were going to bring that up.
I saw your picture about Divinity where you just put yourself in the burning room there.
I mean, it's classic LSU. Of course we have one of our better players suspended the week heading into the biggest game of the year. It was Devin White last year. It's Michael Divinity this year. Why, bring it on. Why would LSU be allowed to have good things? What sense would that make?
Golly. So, you act like they haven't won a game in 100 years.
They haven't won a game against Alabama in 10 years. And when you're LSU, that's really the only one that matters.
Yeah, okay.
Sad to say, but that's where we are. I mean, they're on the mountaintop, and I keep telling people, like, I don't really even care what happens with the playoff race. If LSU beats Alabama, it'll be a season well spent as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then they'll go play them again. They'll have to be forced to play them again.
As soon as I said that, I thought about that. Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, the committee will give them a mulligan like they always do. Alabama never beats anybody, and they always get the benefit of the doubt. It's a joke.
All right. By the way, I could go all day. There was a time, and he did for a long time, and this is a great example. Switzer and Oklahoma owned Osborne in Nebraska throughout the 70s. And then one year they finally beat Billy Sims in Oklahoma on a fumble inside their 10. And the reward was they got to play him in the Orange Bowl. It's an impossible situation. It was like,
I'll go to my grave being unhappy that LSU had the greatest regular season in the history of the sport of college football, and Alabama didn't beat anybody impressive. Lost to LSU at home, got a mulligan. Thanks Iowa State for beating Oklahoma State, and just absolutely ruining the best season in the history of the sport, because LSU would have housed that Oklahoma State team by 50. And instead they lose to Bama, and this horrible dynasty of evil is created, and it's just it's a source of consternation for me and LSU fans everywhere.
Happier things, David.
I'm sorry. Can you tell that this series is in my head a little bit?
Yeah. No, you can work it through with your therapist, too. I think that's important for you later on. Cowboys last night, the Black Cat comes along, the game changes. Kind of a bizarre night. Uneven early on, but your overall thoughts on what they did in New York last night?
It kind of felt like a snapshot of what we've seen all season, to be honest with you. And, like, I hate to feel like a downer about a double-digit win against a division rival on the road, obviously. All wins are good wins in the NFL. Style points don't matter. But it honestly reminded me a lot of the Green Bay game, at least from an offensive standpoint. You know, they were moving the ball at will up and down the field, but they keep shooting themselves in the foot. Interception on the first play of the game. Randall Cobb fumbles, just turnovers, untimely penalties. They're settling for field goals. And it didn't come back to bite them because the New York Giants are not a good football team. But we saw that contribute to them falling into a huge hole against the Packers, you know, just 3 or 4 weeks ago. So it was kind of frustrating from that standpoint. I do have to give the defense way more credit. You know, the defense couldn't hold up its end of the bargain in those losses to the Packers and the Jets. They certainly did that against the Giants. I thought that was as good as the pass rushes looked. Michael Bennett looks like he's well worth the 7th-round pick they gave up to get him. So if they can keep doing that against better teams, then more power to them, and that'll give the offense more time to get humming. But it's just frustrating when week after week it seems like it takes a quarter and a half to 2.5 quarters for the offense to get cranking.
You know what, I saw this, and I know that it would never happen, but the way they ran the ball with Zeke, I thought was one of those nights. And yes, they still had success with Dak in the passing game. Honestly, David, I honestly believe that if they would have given him the ball 33 times last night, he would have run for 300 yards.
I agree with you. Yeah, I mean, it was funny. He even said he thought it was like the easiest 140 he's ever run for. He didn't even need to break tackles. There were so many wide-open holes for him. I thought, you know, I mentioned the pass rush. It was maybe the best game the offensive line has played this season, too. They didn't allow a sack. They absolutely bulldozed the Giants front seven, which we talked about it last week. It's it's a pretty talent poor group, you know, in New York. But like I said, style points aren't important in the NFL. So all credit to them. And it's, you know, it's good to know that as much as we're talking about the Cowboys passing the ball better with Kellen Moore, that's still going to be their bread and butter. And as frustrating as it was to watch him at times last night, we, you know, the old cliches about running games travel and running games show up in bad weather. That's important if you're a team that's interested in playing, you know, meaningful games in December and January. So encouraging to see that, although not necessarily surprising, you know, given the Cowboys' blueprint over the last few years.
David, have you ever seen a player be involved in four different personal fouls and not get called on any of them?
No, I have not. And, man, I remember Will Hernandez from his draft cycle. I think it was either 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was the year they drafted Connor Williams, if my memory holds up. And I remember the thing everybody said about him was he's got a mean streak. And, yeah, I think that's fair to say. I also think it's probably fair to say he's a bit of a sore loser because as soon as the score got a little bit lopsided, he got a little bit chippy. And, yeah, I've never seen anything like that. I'm still at a loss for how Xavier Woods drew that personal foul call. But it is what it is. I mean, it was bizarre, but the Cowboys won by 20 points on the road. So that's Will Hernandez's problem.
I think it was not fair they were picking on him. I just it's kind of he's the victim here. I just David, when it comes to what Michael Bennett brought to the table, and again, it's a trade that I never saw on the radar. I know they were looking for defensive line help, and you had mentioned that as well. But it's not as stunning and invigorating and the launching pad of Amari Cooper by any means. But is this going to be one of those that's a subtle trade right before the deadline that ends up, you know, Quinn might get hurt or D. Lawrence, whatever, or just the depth of what he brings to the table?
This is the type of trade I've been dying for the Cowboys to pull off for a few years. It reminds me of a little bit of the trade the Eagles did for Tim Jernigan a few years ago. You know, you're not giving up something super valuable, but it has the ability to pay dividends in multiple ways. Obviously, you saw what Bennett can do as a player. Jason Garrett just said in his press conference, you know, he played upward of 40 snaps in that game. He clearly made an impact. He played on the inside and the outside. He collapsed the pocket. He made life easier on the rest of the Cowboys pass rushers. Then on top of that, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, I want to see this carry over against better competition. But if he plays like this down the stretch and gets himself another contract with another team because the Cowboys did cut a year off his deal, then he goes and signs somewhere else and you get a compensatory pick for him. And that's successful GMing right there. You get 9 games of high caliber play out of Bennett. Hopefully he propels your defense to a playoff push. And then you get something for him in return that might even be more valuable than what you gave up. So all things considered, it's just a win-win-win. Like I said, I mean, it's one game. But, man, if it wasn't a very encouraging debut for him.
It's like getting a pitcher at the trade deadline who might not have years left in his contract, but somehow you get something in return even when he leaves. You know, in baseball, you don't. He's gone. You know,
you give him a qualifying offer.
Yeah, you can. You can. I was really interested in how disruptive he would be because that's what he is. He's a disruptive player without question. Do you see that the Cowboys in their record is the 12-1 record against their own division a compliment to the Cowboys, or is it because the NFC East is a dumpster fire?
It can probably be both. I mean, I can't outright call it a dumpster fire. I mean, the Eagles won a Super Bowl not that long ago, and they made the playoffs last year. So, I mean, I still think that's one of the better rosters in the league, even if they're not playing like it recently. But even still, I mean, the AFC East has been a dumpster fire for a decade plus, and like nobody really seems to take that away from the Patriots. I mean, the number one line in getting to the playoffs in the NFL is winning your division. And we always say, oh, throw the records out when you play your division. Mm-hmm. These are division rivals. They play each other twice a year. They know each other better than anybody, so it's always going to be tough. Well, it hasn't looked that tough for the Cowboys in recent memory. They're 17-5 against the division since Dak took over as the starting quarterback. That's 77% dominant. I mean, these aren't super impressive wins. I'm not trying to convince anybody of that, but in a league where winning your division guarantees you a home playoff game, it's a heck of a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, it's not their fault that those three teams, you mentioned, you're right, the Eagles, I wasn't trying to overlook the fact that they won it all a couple of years ago, but it's really, they you win the games you're supposed to win, and then you break even with the other ones, right? About six
yeah,
or
I mean,
eight
if
others.
Yeah, if you handle business in your division, you've got six wins,
yep.
And then you probably only need three or four more to make the playoffs. So not saying, you know, you'd prefer to win 12 or 13, but like you said, you know, take care of the division and break even, and you'll probably be where you want to be.
Ball, anything else?
Nope.
Hey, good luck sleeping this week, David.
It's going to be rough, guys. I appreciate your thoughts and prayers.
We do. We are thinking about you dearly.